Good evening. So it's a delight to see all of you that are here. And we pray that the Lord indeed will bless our hearts. And indeed our hearts have already been blessed already through the singing and indeed through going into His presence. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. And as I intimated to the Sunday school class, my time with you during Sunday school time and during the Tuesday night meetings, I'll be sharing on the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And tonight I want to talk about and speak to you from verse 18. As we look at one of His ministries, Sunday morning we share with the Sunday school on His person. But one of His ministries in terms of the Holy Spirit that He will fill us. Verse 18 of chapter 5. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I think learning to be filled, or understanding the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit, is one of the greatest discoveries of the Christian life. And I say that because of a number of reasons. You and I cannot experience the abundant life that Jesus said that He has come to give us. He said, I am come that ye may have life and that ye may have it more abundantly, overflowing, more than enough, that we may have a full life, a life of purpose in our hearts, that we may have joy. And it's so sad that many of us as Christians are not experiencing this overabundant life that Jesus said He came to give us. And I simply believe it's because that we have not experienced the fullness of the Spirit of God in our lives. I think a second reason why we need to be filled with the Spirit is that so you and I can fulfill the Great Commission. The disciples was with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3+ years. And yet He said to them, on His leaving and departure, He said, ye shall be filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, ye shall be witnesses unto me when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, in Jerusalem, and Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And one of the reasons why we have not seen fruit, I believe, in our churches, is because we as the people of God are not allowing the Holy Spirit of God to fill us. That we can fulfill the Great Commission. We cannot do the greater work that the Lord Jesus Christ said that we would do. And I believe He's not talking primarily about miracles, but I believe with the intensity and the multitude of souls that we can reach worldwide with the gospel, it's because of the simple fact that we have not allowed the Holy Spirit of God to fill us. And the tragedy is that multitudes of Christians do not know about the filling or how to be filled with the Spirit of God. Last year, my wife and a few others from the church went to a conference that is held every year by Brother Mike Flowers. And the theme this year or last year was the person of the Holy Spirit. And one of the speakers said his organization, Campus Crusade for Christ, along with the Billy Graham organization, did a survey of American Christians across the United States. And the survey that they took says that 90% of the Christians were carnal. In other words, they were not Spirit-filled people. And I believe if that survey was taken in the Bahamas, I wonder what number we would have of Christians who are filled by the Spirit of God. I wonder if we were to take that survey on the island of Eleuther, the mainland over there, what would the percentage be? I wonder if we were to move to Spanish Wells, among God's people, and take a survey, what would the percentage be? If we were to come closer to home, if we were to take it here in this congregation, what would the percentage be? If we were to take it into your very home, what would the percentage be in terms of being full of the Spirit of God? But what does it mean to be full or filled with the Spirit of God? I believe it means to be filled with Christ,
to be abiding in Christ. Someone has said that the Holy Spirit is the agent of the filling, but Christ is the content. We have His character, His person, the fruit of the Spirit abiding in our lives. And so as we look at this verse, I want to note a few things from this verse as we talk about this and deal with this whole subject of being filled with the Spirit of God. Note, first of all, a command that is given here. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. There is a command. This verse is not a suggestion. And I believe this verse is given in a negative and a positive command. And the negative command says, do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, or wherein is debauchery or licentiousness or riotous living. That's the whole idea. Do not be intoxicated or consumed with wine, which leads to a life of wasteful living. A life that is not of any consequence. A life that does not produce anything for God. A life, my friend, that is wasteful. And maybe you have known people who are alcoholics, and you see their life. You see their end. You see how they carry themselves. You see how the alcohol affects how they walk, how they talk. It impairs their vision. It slurs the speech. They cannot walk straight. They are consumed and taken over by the alcohol. And as Paul writes to these saints at Ephesus, he says, you are not to be drunk with wine. You are not to be controlled by wine. You are not to be consumed by the wine around you. Do not allow wine to take you over and that you become intoxicated. And as a result, it affects how you live for God. It leads you down the pathway to ruin. He says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, or riotous living, or dissipation, as the New American Standard says. Because he says, it leads to a life of wastefulness. But he says, in the positive command, aspect of this command, but be filled with the Spirit of God. But be filled with the Spirit of God. Now I believe many of us readily obey the negative command. We will not allow wine or alcohol to pass over our sanctified lips because we have been separated unto God. We will obey that to the letter. But how many of us obey the second part of the commandment? Be filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God. That's the command. That's not an option. And the Bible says to us, when you and I fail to be filled with the Spirit of God, we are disobeying God. For to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, the Bible says it is sin. And so the Bible says that you and I are to be filled with the Spirit of God. It is a command. And I repeat that. It is a command. It is not an option. It is not something that we can take or leave. In order to be effective for God, in order to touch people's lives, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. There's no option. And if we are not, we cannot be the believers that Jesus Christ wants us to be. We cannot be used by God the way God would want to use us. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And so the verse states a command. But note a second thing as we look at this verse. Implied in this verse is the word control. To be filled with the Spirit means to be controlled with or by the Spirit of God. And so just as wine or alcohol controls a person, you and I need to be controlled by the Spirit of God. As alcohol controls or affects how a person walk and talk, we are to let the Holy Spirit control how we walk and how we talk. As a matter of fact, the very word walk has the connotation or means how you and I live. When you and I are controlled by the Spirit of God, He will control how we live or how we walk. In this book, Paul talks about walk in a number of ways, negatively and positively. But in chapter 5 alone, 3 times he mentions the word walk. This is how you and I are to walk when we are controlled by the Spirit. Note verse 2 of Ephesians 5 and 2. He says, walk in love. as Christ also had loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Agape love, benevolent love, goodwill, it involves the idea of doing for someone what they need, not what they want or desire. And so the Bible says for us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. What did he give? He gave his only begotten son. Not because we desired it, but because we need it. And the Bible says here, if you and I are controlled by the Spirit of God, if he's controlling how we walk, we will walk in love, in benevolent love, in goodwill, reaching out to our fellow men in love and doing for them what they need. And so when we are controlled by the Spirit of God, we will walk in love. And what does the old song say, what the world needs is love. More love. Jesus said, didn't he? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you have good doctrine. Amen? No. Say, by your love. By your love. By your love. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And when you and I love the way Jesus loved, and how did he love according to this verse? His was a sacrificial love. He went to the cross. He gave himself for us, for you, for me. He put himself between us and the wrath of God. And when you and I walk in love, it'll be our desire, my friend, to do the same thing. As John says in his first epistle, that we will be willing to give up our lives for the brethren. Are you there yet? Are you there yet? That's the love he's talking about. We will walk in love. When we are controlled by the Spirit of God, we will walk in love. Sacrificial love. Self-giving love. Concern for others. As I've heard in your prayer for these two young men, hearts are crying out to God. This is what Paul is talking about. And this is what we, the Church of Jesus Christ, and no doubt you here at Spanishville Gospel Chapel do every day. Love one another. Sacrificially. And when we are controlled by the Spirit of God, when we are filled with the Spirit of God, we'll walk in love. But then he says in verse 8, another aspect of love, he says, for when ye were sometimes darkness. Now when darkness is used in scripture, it has sometimes reference to do with ignorance and error. He said, you were sometimes in error, sometimes in ignorance, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And figuratively, it means, the meaning here is talking about moral and spiritual light. Having a true knowledge of God. There was a time when our minds were darkened, when we walked like the Gentiles in the vanity of our minds, as Paul says in chapter 4. He said, but now, you once were darkened. You are not to walk like that anymore. Not walking in the vanity or the emptiness of your mind. Now that you are in Christ, now that you have a true knowledge of God, now that you are in the light, you are to live as the children of light. You are to pull off malice and hatred and pride. You are to pull off all those things that are the ungodly. He says, walk in the light. Walk in the true knowledge of God. And since you are in Christ, since you know God through Jesus Christ, he says, you have come to the true knowledge, and so you have to live in the light of that true knowledge in the way God would have you to live. One of the ways that God says, be filled with my Spirit. Be controlled. And so he says, walk in the light. And then he says in verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly. The word there for circumspectly means diligence or exactly or accurate. Two synonyms can be carefully or rightly. He says, when you are controlled by the Spirit of God, you will walk rightly and carefully. But why do you and I need to do that? So that we won't be fools, as he said in the verse. We will be wise people. Why do you and I need to be wise and not fools? Because simply we need to know how to redeem the time. How to make full use of the time, as he says in verse 16. And so we need to be diligent. We need to be right. We need to live right. We need to be diligent about the things of God so that we might redeem the time, that we may not lose our focus upon that which is better over that which is, might be good. He says, we need to walk circumspectly so that we might be redeemed the time because the days are evil. And you know, and I know, that we are living in evil times. We are living in times when there is no regard for God. Not just in other nations, but here in the Bahamas, when the word of God is not being followed, not so much, I'm talking about the unsaved, I'm talking about even in the Church of Jesus Christ, where truth is given way to subjectivism, how I feel about something. And he says, we are living in evil times, not just the sinners. We're living in times where there is vile sin, where there is the rejection of the truth of God, where there is incest and violence in our land. We see it all around us. It's there. And so he says, you need to walk circumspectly. You need to be wise in how you live. Redeem the time. Redeeming the time, he says, because the days are evil. The days are evil. And he says also, so you can know what the will of God is. Therefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And then he says, and be not drunk with wine. See, it comes right back to being filled with the Spirit of God. And so, it's not only a command is seen here in this verse, but we see also implying the fact that you and I need to be controlled by the Spirit of God. How we walk. How we talk. Let the words of my mouth, we should say, Lord, be acceptable in your sight. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. We need to speak those things that become sound doctrine. We need to speak the things that would uplift and encourage one another. And just as a drunk, when he is drunk, if he's a shy person, somehow when he takes that alcohol and that controls and consumes him. He becomes like a radio talk show host. Blue, 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 all day long. And he tells you his heart. And so God says, I want you to talk. But I want you to talk things that will be sound, that will be pure, that will be uncorrupt. I want you to talk things that will be, let your speech always be seasoned with grace, the Bible says, that you may know how to be able to answer every man. Talk about Christ. Exalt Christ in our speech. Let not corrupt communications come out of your mouth. But only those things that are edifying and uplifting to one another. And so he says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled or controlled by the Spirit of God. That's the challenge. But I also want you to know the third thing in this passage. He says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. The literal translation of the word, but be filled with the Spirit, is in the recurring sense in the Greek. It means be being filled or controlled by the Spirit. We are to continually be controlled by the Spirit of God. It's not a one-time experience for the child of God. We are to continually allow the Holy Spirit of God to control us, day by day, moment by moment. It's not a one-time experience. And as we look at the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, the day of Pentecost, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 4 and 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in Acts 4 and 31, that when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they all were assembled together, and they all, including Peter, were filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says of the Apostle Paul in chapter 9, after he received Christ, the Bible says that Paul was filled with the Spirit of God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 13 and verse 17, that Paul again was filled with the Spirit of God. It's not a one-time and momentary thing. It is a continuous thing. You and I are to allow the Holy Spirit of God to control us. Every day. Every moment. To control us completely.
in every area of our lives. Yea, we are commanded to do so. And again, I said, it's not like the baptism of the Spirit where we've been placed into the body of Christ as a one-time experience. The indwelling, when you and I trusted Christ, He came and He lived within our hearts. He seals us until the day of the redemption. We have the anointing of the Spirit. We have the earnest of the Spirit. These are all one-time ministries of the Spirit when we trust on Christ. But know the filling of the Spirit, the controlling of the Spirit in your life and my life is a continuous thing. We need to be controlled by the Spirit of God. But there's a fourth thing that is emphasized here in this verse. Not only is there a command, not only is there implied control and continuous filling, it says, be not drunk with wine, excessive, but be filled with the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, is a choice. Now, I know I said at the beginning that it's a command, but see, you and I could either obey a command or we can disobey a command. It's our choice. There must be a willingness of our hearts, desire to be filled or controlled by the Spirit of God. It's a choice that you make. It's a choice that I make. When you and I choose to trust Christ as our Savior, we made that choice. And the Spirit came in and He dwells in our hearts. But also we have a choice to allow the Holy Spirit to control us. The choice is ours. We have to make that choice. You have to make that choice. Daily, momentarily, each time in our life, there must be a choice. But someone may ask, Brother Kevin, I hear you. But how do we do this? How do we be filled or controlled by the Spirit of God? And actually, there is no one scripture given in the Word of God that tells us how to be filled with the Spirit of God. But I believe there are two basic things, and really, they're just basic, as I said. First of all, there must be a confession and a putting away of all sin. You see, God is holy and He cannot work in lives where sin is condoned or practiced. The Bible says that you and I can regard iniquity in our hearts. God will not hear us. Not only will He not hear us, He will not use us. And so there must be a putting away, confessing of sin. Now notice, I said putting away, confessing of sin. But you know, many of us confess our sins. And then we come right back 2 days later and it's the same thing again. How many of you experienced that? You confess the sin, then you come back a day later or 2 days later confessing the same sin. And it seems like you're going in a vicious circle all around. And it's simply because we confess, but we don't repent of these sins. And many times when we hear the word repent, we tend to refer to the unsaved. But do you know, as John wrote, as Jesus gave him the vision, and he spoke to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, 8 times, to 5 of the 7 churches, 8 times the word repent is mentioned to the church. And so we not only need to confess our sin, we need to repent of our sins. We need to turn away from them. Those things that we practice, those things that we allow to come in our lives, those things that seem to just have a hold on us, we need to not only confess them to the Lord, but we need to forsake them. And I believe that there are many Christians like that who are caught in one sin or two sins that seem that they can't seem to get rid of. And they keep confessing it over and over and they seem it keeps coming back. It's because you haven't turned your back on it. You haven't forsaken it. And I believe in order for us to be filled with the Spirit of God, our hearts must be right with God. Be right with Him. And secondly, and this is it, I think, just a yielded life to God. Simply yielding ourselves to Him. And as we yield ourselves to Him, the Spirit of God will do whatever He wants to do in our lives. Nothing spectacular. Nothing of walking down the aisle as some people do and
put their hands on your head and people falling all over the place. Just simply of yielding ourselves to Him. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, he says, but be transformed. That word transformed comes from the word that the root word in the Greek, we get metamorphosis. Be transformed from inside out by the renewing of your mind, by the word of God. There must be a yielding to Christ in every area of our lives. Our time, our talent, our treasures, everything must be laid open to Him. I heard a speaker once say that as a young worker, him and his wife just got married and they were just came out of seminary and they decided to, they were on the West Coast in California and, you know, they had a string of invitations up and down the coast of California. And they were going from church to church. And he says that there are two types of homes he went into. One, that when they opened the door, the host says, "Our home is your home. Here, have the run of the place. The refrigerator is there, the stove is there. There's your room, drop your bags anywhere. You know, our home is your home. Enjoy yourself. You're going out here. Here's a spare key. Whenever you come in, fine." They had the free reign, the run of the house. But then he said there was another type of home that they went into. That when they got to the door, the host would open the door. They would say, "This is the living room. This is the bathroom. This is your room. And when dinner's ready, we'll call you." In other words, these are the areas that you are confined to. He said, you got that feeling? And he's using the illustration talking about the Holy Spirit. And sometimes that's the way we treat the Spirit of God. Only my church life you're entitled to. I yield to you. All my home. Now when it comes to my job, my social activity, that's my domain, Lord. You have nothing to do with that. When it comes to my bank book or my wallet, that's my own. Lord, you have nothing to do with that. No. If you and I want to be controlled and be used by Christ, we must open up every area of our lives to Him. Every area. Our talents, our treasures, our time. Because we have to remember, and many of us forget, that we are not our own. We have been bought by a price, we say, and we sing that and we acknowledge that. But we go off in our lifestyle as if we do not belong to Christ, that He have not purchased us. And if you and I want to live the productive life that Christ intended us to live, if we want to live the abundant life that Christ has intended us to live, if we want to fulfill the Great Commission on this key or in Freeport, we must allow the Holy Spirit of God to control our lives. And in order to do that, our hearts must be cleansed and we must be yielded to Him. Yielded to Him. I was telling Brother Barron and his dear wife this afternoon, I was listening to a tape in the apartment yesterday evening. And the brother was speaking in a conference and he's not here. A tape there from, I think, from the West Coast. It's in there. He says that he's convinced that God uses people not so much because of their ability, but more so because of their availability. Availability. And many of us have not yielded ourselves and made ourselves completely available to God. Maybe there is a loved one. Maybe there is a friend or someone that you work with on one of these boats. Maybe there is someone next door that God wants to reach, but you're not available. You're not yielding. You're not controlled by the Spirit of God. We need to be controlled by the Spirit of God. We need to yield ourselves. We need to be cleansed. No sin in our hearts. And I believe when you and I completely yield our lives to the Spirit of God, we'll begin to see some things in our lives.
I believe there'll be four basic evidences in our lives. Our relationships with others would be affected. And that's what we're going to be dealing with. You go down to verse 19 and on into chapter 6. That's what Paul deals with. Relationship. Our vertical relationship with God and then our horizontal relationship with one another. And you see, you and I cannot have good relationships with our wives and our children the way we ought to if we are not controlled by the Spirit of God. It all relates. And that's why you hear of Christian homes that are falling apart because men and women are not filled by the Spirit of God. Husbands aren't filled. They're not loving their wives as they ought to. Wives are not filled. You see, a wife has to be filled in order to submit to a man the way God intended it to be. Have to be. Because you know how we are, right, ladies? You can be cantankerous sometimes. But our relationships will be affected. We will be occupied, secondly, with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. But Christ liveth in me in the life that I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We will be occupied totally and absolutely with the person of the Christ in worship and praise and adoration. That's what he says. Singing, he says, and making melody in our hearts to God in verse 19. We'll be taken up with God, occupied with him, when we are filled with the Spirit of God. Thirdly, we'll be occupying for him. We'll be witnessing to sinners, and we'll be serving the saints, or waiting on the saints, serving them diligently, and fourthly, the fruit of the Spirit to be seen in our lives. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance to be seen in your life and in my life. Paul says, be not drunk with wine. Don't be intoxicated with wine. Don't be consumed with wine that it affects your life to the detriment. But he said, be filled with the Spirit of God. Allow him to control your life. And when you and I allow him to do that, God will work in our hearts. God will turn our lives around. God will use us as instruments of righteousness to affect change around us, beginning where we are and working outward. And that's what he said to the disciples. That's what he said. You should be witnesses unto me when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you will begin there, in Jerusalem. And then unto Judea. And then Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. But the question is he controlling your life? Is the Holy Spirit controlling you? Are you filled with the Spirit of God? Have you been obedient to the Word of God and yield yourself completely and absolutely to him? Only you and God know the answer. Let's bow for prayer. This evening, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and our hearts are open to God, I want you to make a personal application tonight. You know your position before God. Maybe there are some things in your life that you need to get right. Do that right now. Confess anything in your heart, in your life, and repent, turn away, and yield right now to the Spirit of God. Yield to him. Make that personal application tonight before you leave here. Thank you, Father, that your ears are open to us. Thank you for your word. Thank you, O Lord, that you live it in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Thank you that we are sealed by your Spirit. We are dwelt by him. We possess the Spirit of God. Father, it's our prayer tonight that he may possess us fully. That he may possess every area of our lives. That we would lay open to him our treasures, our time and our talents, O Lord. That we would commit to him our families, our jobs, our social time. Yield completely to him in every area of our lives. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would speak, that you would deal with the heart of your people right now, those who are opening up themselves to you. And may they find you in a new and a fuller way as they appropriate this experientially tonight in the name of Jesus. We thank you for what you are doing, what you will do in and through our lives. We pray that you would take us now to our various abode in peace and in safety. In Jesus' name. May we sing stanza 46 as we further in the old chorus book. As we further focus our mind upon this, Spirit of the Living God. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. May we stand to sing this chorus. The service will be over. Number 46.